said, it is good to have you here this morning. Thank you to all of you that are helping do 15,000 things at once. This morning, we are starting a new series called Hangover. This is one of those things, sometimes I just like wrestle things when I'm preparing and I'm getting ready and just even, okay, God, what is the direction that you're wanting to take us as a church and what's the deal? And this kind of was all birthed out of the idea that just kind of coming out of Christmas, everybody is just kind of overloaded with different things in life. And some of those things happen to be church things. Some of those things happen to just be life things. And so we're going to talk about some of that stuff through this series, and I really think that it's going to be hopefully a shot in the arm to a bunch of you that maybe feel like you're in a state of hangover from dealing with different things in life. And this morning specifically, we're talking about something that's very applicable to everyone, I believe, and it's all kind of stemming and coming from a story in Scripture out of the book of 1 Kings. And in this book, we see a guy by the name of Elijah, and Elijah is just kind of doing his thing, and his thing is that he is trying to live his best for the Lord. And what does that look like, and what does that mean? Well, it's a big honking responsibility is what it is. And Elijah is finding himself as one of like the last guys left trying to do God's will. And he is lost in the forest of what am I going to do now? And that's really kind of where this series kind of ends up is, you know, what's next? What am I going to do now? You know, this is the circumstance and this is what's left behind. What am I going to do with it? And so, you know, just kind of thinking about that this morning, I don't know where you are. I don't know what's going on in your life right now, but I want to take just a second to just even pray for you and for us together as we're about to embark on this together. So let's just pray for just a second. God, I thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to get to be here together and to worship you. But God, you're about to speak through your Scripture. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you would do that and that nothing would hinder that. I pray that I wouldn't hinder it, and I pray that just nothing else would. God, I pray that you would speak straight to our hearts. At the same time, God, we have gathered in your name, and we have come to speak to your heart. And God, whenever we do that, whenever we take time out and spend time with you, we come away changed. And God, today, I believe with all my heart that you want to change some people. You want to change our hearts. You want to change what's going on inside of us. And because of that, you may change what happens outwardly. God, I don't know. Whatever your plan is, God, I pray for that. And I pray that we would all be open to it. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to study your word and to read your word. God, again, just speak through it. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, guys. The scripture this morning about Elijah leaves him in a kind of a dark and desolate place where, again, he feels very alone and feels kind of like, you know, what am I going to do from here? What's next? What am I going to do now? And quite honestly, Elijah is just kind of ready for things to end. And that's kind of where we're going to pick up. And I want you, if you've got your Bible with you, you can look at 1 Kings. It's Old Testament, earlier part of that. And chapter 19, verse 3. And it says this, check this out. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. We're picking up where Elijah has just battled against the priests of a god named Baal. He has taken a stand, and it's something that God called him to do. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes, a lot of times I think, you know, when God calls us to do something, we're afraid of it. We don't want to do it because a lot of times because we take him out of the equation, we think it's all on us. And truthfully, it's hardly on us at all. It's usually just a matter of us being faithful. If he wants us to do it, he's going to do it. And so he was faithful in doing this incredible thing, and kind of calling these people out, because kind of what had happened was that the true God, our God that we know as God, that basically nobody was worshiping our God anymore. Nobody was worshiping the God anymore. And instead they had made a God. They had made these idols, and it was called Baal. And there were all these priests that were all, you know, kind of helping lead people toward Baal and basically just leading them to destruction in the process. And Elijah just had a huge heart for his world and his community. And he said, you know what? I wanna go and I wanna reach people. And so Elijah is going to God and he's saying, God, what am I supposed to do? And God just looks at him and he says, you gotta go call those guys out. And he didn't, and scripture's very clear in this, that he didn't like call Elijah just to like, you know, go in and like, you know, pat people on the back. Oh, you're doing, you know, it's okay. You know, I know you love this God, and, you know, but there's another God that loves you more, you know, and all this stuff. No. God's like, you need to go in there and you need to confront these people. And you need to help them understand where they have missed it. And so Elijah goes and he confronts them, and he actually says, I want to meet with all of the priests. I want to meet with all of the priests that are leading all these people to Baal. I want to meet with all of them. Bring them all together. So he does, and just to kind of cut to the quick, the short of the story is that they have this basically battle. And he kills them all. And it's this huge thing. It's a miraculous thing. And I would love for you to go back and read it. In fact, that's all I'm going to give you. So hopefully that you will go back in the text and read it and study it for yourself. But he kills them all. And even though he's done what God has called him to, he gets to the end of this particular segment of what God has called him to for this moment in time. And he's feeling bad. And that happens sometimes. And I don't know if you've been there, and maybe you've done what you thought God wanted you to do, and you're kind of left holding the bag going, well, God, I did what you wanted me to do. Is this it? Is this what you got for me? Is this why I did this? Was for pain or suffering or whatever? And he finds himself to the point where he's just ready to die. And if I had to bet, I'm sure there's probably some people in this room that have gotten to this point where you're just ready to die. Because what's happened has left you in a state where you just as soon not have to deal with life anymore. God's not done with Elijah. And let me coincide that with saying that if you're still breathing, God's not done with you either. I think so many times we ask that question, does God have a plan for me? Does God want to use me to do something great for his kingdom? And I always answer that question with this. It's a question. Are you breathing? God wants to continue to use Elijah, and he goes on, and we see after he's fallen asleep, it says, all at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then laid down. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. This is also Mount Sinai. This is where we see God meeting Moses. If you didn't pick up on, we've got a 40 days and 40 nights of Elijah fasting after getting food and all this stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening here coinciding with also Moses and of course Jesus before they're meeting the Maker, at least for Moses and Elijah. And for Elijah, he's come to this point where he is down, and he's ready to give up. And what happens? God comes along, and God feeds him. God feeds him. The scripture goes on. It says, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. Ever feel like that? I'm it. I'm the only one. And now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? This morning, I asked the question, what are you doing here? Why are you here? It really doesn't matter what got you here. The question, even more importantly, I guess stated, would be, what are you going to do from here? You see, Elijah, like many of us, had come to this place in life where he's ready to call it quits. He's ready to give it up. I've been there. We've all been there. You know, I've had moments in ministry. I told somebody the other day, I was kind of kidding, but I was about halfway serious. You know, I said, of course, I used to do the youth ministry thing, and youth ministers are pretty extremely hard to find, at least decent ones. And I was probably a pretty terrible one, but anyway, I told somebody, I said, on the bad days, sometimes Satan starts messing with my head and going, maybe you should just go work with teenagers again, but then I know that's not what God has called me to do. And we all get to those points. We all have those days. We all have those times in our lives when we're left looking around and we're going, I feel all alone. I feel like nobody else really cares about what I care about. Nobody's passionate about this anymore. Honestly, the pursuit of God by itself will wear you out and give you a hangover. Say, Chris, that's pretty harsh. I don't know if that's really good for you to say as a preacher. It's true. It will wear you out. In fact, this is what it does. It makes us just like this. It makes us just like that. It makes us empty. You see, to pursue God, to pursue the passion that He has called us into, to pursue His will in our lives, will oftentimes leave us like this. And there comes moments in our life where we have to be willing to look for God in ways that maybe we haven't been willing to look before, because this is what we're so clued into doing. And this is the fast food nature of us as Americans. We're ready to just like, I'm going to go to church, get a little fuel, and then I'm good to go for the rest of the week. I'm going to go to this conference, or I'm going to go to this marriage retreat. We're going to fix things for right now and be good for a couple of months. I'm just here to tell you that God wants to speak to us in things other than earthquakes, conferences, fires, church services, and the wind. Sometimes He just wants us to get still before Him and remember who He is. And the truth is that if we'll allow Him to do that and we will spend time with Him doing that, He will speak to our hearts. We're all guilty of this. We all fall into it. I fall into it all the time. I'm busy all the time. Busy with good stuff. You say, Chris, you're doing a good work. That may be. But it's useless unless it's coupled with a relationship with God. I look at this passage of Scripture and I see this, and I see Elijah at this point where he is just ready to just absolutely walk away and just give it all up. And in doing so, God looks at him and He doesn't say, hey, Elijah, it'll be okay. It'll be all right. No. He's like, Elijah, you're tired. Sit down. Take a break. Just take a minute. Take a minute and remember who I am. In fact, Elijah, you're looking a little like this. So, you know, just to kind of help out the process, let me give you a little something. And you see, everything changes after God feeds Elijah. We see him feeding him, obviously, with spiritual, with physical food. But I think the bigger thing that begins to happen is because he is spending time with God, and he's come to this point where he is down underneath that broom tree, and he's saying, God, I'm done. Take me out now. Let's go. Send Michael Landon and that other guy from Highway to Heaven. And let's get out of here. I always wanted to ride to heaven in a Ford LTD, didn't you? A guy wearing a Detroit hat. So, I mean, that's where he's at. He's right there, just ready to go. And God says, no, you're not. You think you are, but you're not ready to go. I'm not done. I'm not done. Here, have this. And you see, for so many of us, we think we're getting this. And so many times we're not. Because things like spending time in prayer, reading your Bible, even going to church, if we do them, it's just because we're supposed to do them, you know? It's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go. It's good. We haven't been in a while. We should go. Yeah, it'd be a good thing. Yeah, it'd be good for us. We're gonna take the kids, get the kids in there. It'd be good. Yeah, yeah. And good intentions. Good intentions. But the motive of just going and spending time with the Savior is missing. God wants a relationship. He doesn't want the other stuff as much as he wants that. You say, Chris, well, I thought God wanted my time and he wanted, you know, part of my money and, you know, all of this other stuff and all that. Well, I'm here to tell you this. If God has your relationship, the other stuff just happens because you love him. Chris, I thought God wanted me to serve. I thought he wanted me to help out. I thought he wanted me to do this, and I'm trying to do that, and this is why. And yeah, yeah. He wants a relationship first. He wants a relationship first. And so this morning, if you're feeling empty, if you're feeling like this is a big game, if this is something that you just do because mama said you're supposed to when you were a kid, or maybe you've just been missing the boat altogether and you can just honestly say, you know what, Chris? I don't spend time in God's word. I don't spend time in prayer. If I do, it's just to say grace or something. Chris, I'm empty. I'm here to tell you that he wants to fill you up. He wants to fill you up. In the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at other cups, and we're going to be talking about different ones throughout this series that I think will hit home with all of us. I really challenge you to not miss the things that we're going to be talking about, because my prayer for this year, for our church and for its people, is this, that we would just absolutely fall in love with God, that we would fall in love with God, and that we would yearn to grow in his word. Say, Chris, I'm so scared of studying the Bible. Let me just tell you what. Don't let the fact that you used to have to do book reports in grade school scare you away from reading God's word. This is not for a book report. This is to look at something, and it may be one verse, and go, God, what in the world are you trying to say to me? And if you can begin right there and take it little steps at a time, little pieces at a time, just taking in little bits, just trying to do a little bit every day and just saying, God, what are you saying there? What are you speaking to me about? That's where it begins. It begins there, and it begins spending time with him in prayer. And sometimes, let me just tell you what prayer means: to shut up. Shut it and just listen to what God wants to say to your heart. Maybe you're empty this morning. Maybe you don't even know God this morning, and you've been empty all your life, and you've been missing something, and you know that something's going on in you, and you've been feeling this hole in the heart kind of a thing going on. You're like, you know, nothing seems to fix this. I collect this, and I do this, and I change jobs, and I've changed, you know, spouses or whatever else that I can come up with earthly that I could possibly do, and nothing is the fix. And I'm here to tell you today that nothing will be until you know Jesus as your Savior. God wants a relationship with you. And if you feel him tugging on your heart, that's not me. I can't do it. That's him. And I would encourage you to not turn him away on that. Let me pray for us this morning. God, I pray that this morning that we would just be able to honestly look at who you are and who you've called us to be. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be willing to be filled if we need to be filled. God, I pray that we would not be afraid to be honest with you. God, we see Elijah and we see his honesty in you. God, he's come to this point where he's hung over from life and from trying to serve you. And God, I don't doubt that there's some people in here this morning, God, that maybe they're from another church, maybe they're from our church, and they're just absolutely worn out. Maybe they got worn out years ago. Maybe they got worn out last year, and they just gave up everything. They just said, God, I'm gonna quit serving you, I'm gonna quit giving, I'm gonna quit doing whatever, I'm just tired and I'm burned out. God, I pray, Lord, that they would be willing to spend time with you so that you can change their heart, so that they can come back to you. God, I pray, Lord, that their relationships with you would thrive. God, I pray for our church and I pray for our people. God, that we would just thrive in you and not attempt so much to thrive in the stuff and in the collections and in the people, but God, that we would thrive in you. God, I pray, Lord, that you would hear their hearts right now. God, as they pray to you and ask you and get honest with you about where they are with their relationship with you, God, I just pray that we would all run to you.